Well, Sergey, thank you for this extra conversation. We ran out of time on radio to tell more of the story that we wanted to tell, so I appreciate you sticking with us for this extra bonus conversation on First Person. As tragic as this situation is, it is bringing a harvest of souls, isn't it? And people are asking the deeper questions of life, the questions that lead, we believe, to peace in Christ. So I'm so glad to hear this report of what is happening, not only with the food and medicine and all that, but also with the spiritual help and the counseling as well. And I want to mention, too, that all of this information, there's so much more we could talk about, but I urge you to go to our program notes at firstpersoninterview.com and follow the links that we'll provide there for more information. Sergey, in the time we have, I want you to comment about the staff who are working so hard and under unusual circumstances away from home. Many of them don't know if they have a home to go back to, and yet here they are serving other people, but it is taking a toll on staff. What would you say about that?
Wayne, if you can describe hero, that's what, you know, so our staff, in a very heroic way, are continually leading ministry, not just doing something, they're leading a large effort, a large scale project, you know, with all this multifaceted kind of structural issues. And you're right, you know, so they left their homes. Their families are abroad. They're not with them. So think of that separation and that loss, you know, so of that not being together with their families. And they don't know when they're going to reunite with them again.
Maybe a long time, right?
And with all this emotional, spiritual pressures, you know, so they are able to lead this in order thinking, you know, helping thousands and thousands of others. So I want specifically to name a few, Wayne, if I can. Denis Gorenkov, he's our field ministry's director. He was there. He was the first one, you know, I talked on the phone. I was talking to him here, the blast of the first Russian missiles bombing his hometown just outside of Kyiv. That's where one of the strategic targets, Russians targeted right away. Andrew Maksimenko, he is from Koristan, and that's the city was hugely hit, you know, by the first attack on the ground, you know, have destroyed. He knows that his home is not there. His wife and his kids are outside of Ukraine, but he's providing such a steady leadership, you know, to the project, you know, so when the food is with a systematic consistency, given the war circumstances now, continue being obtained and delivered further into the hands of suffering people.
Yeah.
When we talk with each other, I hear their emotional. We're not ashamed of our tears today, Wayne. And I want to especially mention, you know, Alexander Bielo. We had such a strong base in Moldova for our ministry. As soon as this all started, the first refugee family started rushing over the border to Moldova. They turned everything into, kind of reformating its ministry, mobilizing local volunteers, the networks of churches serving those who are in need. And currently, thousands and thousands of refugee families come through the center that Sasha is providing leadership to. Again, providing food, medical assistance, temporary shelter, but most important, Wayne, pastoral care.
Yes.
These people need to be most encouraged. They need to be counseled. They need to hear, you know, so that God is, you know, the source of hope, you know, and He is in a time like this, you know, He comes and provides help, you know, and there's so much counseling needed. And that's what Mission Eurasia is. Overall, we are deploying more staff, more resources on it already, thinking a longer-term ministry in Moldova, but also in all other neighboring countries, how we can help the suffering refugee families that suffer separation, suffer loss, suffer all that, you know, emotional distress and not being able, you know, to find stability. So, and that's what Mission Eurasia is doing now. We already have staff on the ground in neighboring countries working with local churches like in Poland, Moldova, in Slovakia. So, but primarily in Poland and Moldova to mobilize all possible we can provide pastoral care for this huge number of refugee families, but also already thinking longer term how we can start new churches based on a large number of this refugee communities, you know, that are pouring over into neighboring countries to Poland and Moldova.
Let's talk about the staff. The staff are working so hard on behalf of so many people, and the staff includes people who are packing food boxes and medicine and providing counseling support, pastoral support. It includes drivers who are driving the food packages deep into Ukraine to get them to the people that need them. Think of the danger of driving those trucks laden with these iCare Ukraine boxes so that people can eat and have the medicine they need. Well, Sergey, you mentioned Alex Belev, who is our International School Without Walls director, who lives in Moldova, and he has been helping Ukrainian refugees over the border in Moldova get the help and give them the hope that they need. Do you want to say anything more about Alex? And then I want to share an email that Alex sent to all of us.
Yeah, Wayne Alex is another hero, you know. So Alex, you know, everything, you know, what he does now, it's all focused on mobilizing the volunteers, mobilizing all local resources, churches, so that they would able to serve, you know, a large number of the refugee families that are pouring from southern parts of Ukraine into Moldova. Mm-hmm. Alex himself comes from a family. They were quite persecuted by the Soviet regime. There was back then when Soviet Union was still in place. His father spent a number of years in prison. Alexander quite often reflects on that. He says, I lost my childhood with dad because the regime took away my dad from me for a long time.
Wow.
So now his dad is with the Lord, but he says, I just want to follow the steps of my dad. All his siblings are in ministry. And Alexander, as our director for our international program called School with the Walls, is focused on training the next generation of leaders, training and mobilizing the emerging generation of evangelical leaders who take the baton and take the gospel through all the circumstances, you know, or in the amid like this war, and they say, we were trained for the time like this. So Alex now, as one of those evangelical heroes now, he with his own example continues leading, inspiring, but providing the leadership for a large number of young evangelical leaders, volunteers who are doing anything possible, make sure the gospel is preached through everything they touch, helping those people that are experiencing this tragedy, running away from war.
Well, a few days ago, Alex sent several of us, you and myself and others, an email, and I want to share that email with our listeners. Here's what Alex said. He said, friends, 10 days ago, our coordinator in Israel, and yes, we have ministry in Israel, and we don't have time to talk about that at the moment, but our coordinator in Israel called me and asked me to provide possible assistance to the parents. Victor and Claudia are their names, of his sister from the Living Israel congregation. They were in a town near Mariupol and could not get out. I was in contact with them, Alex says, for a week while they were evacuated from the combat zone. Then they were transported through Ukraine to the border of Moldova. We met them at the border, brought them to a refugee center, provided them with care and all the necessary assistance. Tomorrow, Alex said, they are going to their daughter in Israel. And then here's the story he told about this couple from Ukraine. Victor and Claudia, a family from a small town near Mariupol. Today, they are safe in the Center for Refugees on the basis of the Church Without Walls in Chisinau. That's in Moldova. They are Jewish. They believe in Yeshua. After 20 days with no water, no electricity, no heating, and with bombs destroying more and more of the town, they were rescued by Christian volunteers in a convoy of 7 cars after 3 unsuccessful attempts. First car was turned away at a checkpoint. Second was destroyed by the Russian military, killing the driver. And a third car was attacked, wounding the driver. On the 4th attempt, they were rescued by Christian volunteers. It is not that they did not want to leave. They could not due to a city being under siege. On day 20, they sat down to eat in the evening. Claudia remembers getting up to pick up salt, and seconds later, bombs exploded near their home. She remembers her husband on the floor, the table destroyed by the shrapnel, window shattered. As they got out of the house, they saw three houses of neighbors destroyed. They were rescued the next morning. Victor and Claudia are now happy to be safe. Claudia said she had a very deep sleep, and as she woke up, she felt God stroke her hair in the morning, letting her know He is near. The last 4 days, now they are waiting to be united with their daughter and 8 grandchildren. Tomorrow, they leave for Bucharest and from there fly to Israel. Well, praise God, that family is now in Israel. As far as I know, Sergei and our friend Alex and others, unnamed others, made this all possible. I just wanted to tell that story because it illustrates what's happening on a micro scale, person to person, in the country of Ukraine right now. And it also points out what you said earlier about these folks being heroes who are rescuing people. I mean, drivers were killed in trying to get them out of the country.
Yeah, and that you can repeat that story so many times, Wayne. You know, so that's what, as you mentioned, on a macro scale. But our people are doing this on a daily basis now, 24/7, going, you know, delivering food to those areas where the towns, villages been bombed. You know, people are trapped to all variety of different reasons. One, they are not able to get. So they deliver food to those communities and bring people back to a safer place. And they do this, you know, so all the time, 24/7. As we speak now, I know that there is a number of these young volunteers risking their lives. They rush to the war zone there. They know that they are on the mission to save lives. They are heroes, Wayne.
They are.
They are heroes of the gospel.
I agree.
I don't know. We cannot accept why this war is happening. We can't. I don't know. There are so many unanswered questions. But I know in the midst of this, the name of God has been proclaimed. The lives have been saved physically and spiritually. Millions are turning to God now. And that's what, you know, so we are committed, you know, through all the resources we have available. Staff is available to commit their time, energy, their lives to it. We continue preaching the gospel in such a practical way, saving people from death, you know, bringing them to life, you know, literally in the way of, you know, saving them physically, but spiritually as well.
Yeah. Sergei Rakuba, president of Mission Eurasia. Sergei, thank you for your time. You're one of the busiest people I know right now, trying to do everything you can. And I know you'll be going back to that region soon, so our prayers go with you. Thank you, brother.
Thank you so much, Wayne. Thank you.